If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Welcome back, guys. I am so excited for today's episode. We have David Weintraub. He's a former William Morris Agency and United Talent Agency trained talent agent who turned his career into being one of the top manager, producer, creators in the business. He's the mastermind behind some of the biggest talent deals in the pop culture scene, and he's produced an impressive number of TV shows while representing countless celebrities. Weintraub is the mastermind behind some of the biggest talent deals in the pop culture scene, and he's produced an impressive number of TV shows while representing countless celebrities. We will get into all the details of who he's represented, but now it's your chance to find out how to be a star yourself. He's sharing his insider knowledge through an exclusive masterclass that will show you exactly how to achieve fame and go viral. It's called the Hollywood Handbook. He's here to talk all about it. And something really exciting also is that I've known David forever because he was my manager at one time and got me one of the biggest deals in reality TV. So he's going to take all of his expertise and we are going to have a conversation about what you can do to break into the business. Sit back and enjoy this episode with David Weintraub.
Thanks for joining me, David. It's been so long. I'm so happy to see you.
It has been a long time.
You don't age. You look the same that I remember you. You know, what has it been now? Let's see. 10 years? 14 years? 2009.
Each other? Mm-hmm. 2009. Yeah, I think we met in 2009. Okay. We did a lot of fun, real crazy business in 2010.
Yeah.
That was an interesting year.
So actually, let's tell people how we know each other, because that's, to me, the most interesting story. I had been in a little scandal, and I was, you know, someone who was on front page news, but I really had become like a recluse. I kind of disappeared for a little bit. And
so she says.
Yeah, well, and so, but I got a phone call from you. How did we meet? Was it through Michael Lohan? I'm trying to remember how we met.
Well, Lindsay Lohan called me and said her dad was going to call me about something he wanted to do with you.
I don't know if I knew that.
Yes. So Lindsay and then Michael, and then here we are.
Right.
So he called me and he's like, I know this girl. She's getting a lot of bad press. She's a good person. I know you're good with you know, crisis management and like taking people that are in unique PR situations and then getting them into like mainstream work.
Right.
And I said, you know, dependently, because we had kind of done a lot of that with his daughter at that time. Mm. So he felt like you were ripe for that. And we met, and you and I kind of became fast friends. I remember because the first conversation that we had after the intro, I think we talked for like 2 hours on the phone. And it was, you know, I definitely saw a completely different side of who you were besides what you were being sort of painted in the media. And I was like, you know what, we could figure something out. There's got to be something that we could do. And I don't know how I became like, you know, the crisis management manager, producer person, but obviously that fall. And I'll tell you a little bit about that later, because a lot of people after working with you and representing you came to me that were in similar situations.
Well, it is interesting because, you know, my life completely changed on Thanksgiving of 2009, I guess. And I became a complete recluse. I lost all family, all friends. Nobody wanted to be associated with me. I was the top story in all television, you know, anything media related, I was the top story. We didn't have social media like we had back then. So it was just basically what the media was narrating and then what the public consumption of that was and how everyone was dying for information on who was I.
You sold a lot of magazine.
Yeah. Like, magazines.
Magazine business made a lot of money off of you.
Yeah. And there was like Radar Online, I guess. Obviously there was TMZ because Harvey Levin was one of the first people that actually called me in my house the next night after Thanksgiving. But the way I remember getting introduced to you is that a lot of people started sliding into, you know, I guess it was Facebook at the time. I can't even remember, or getting my number somehow. And Michael Lohan was one of them. I did not know him. I became friends with him, but I had to trust new people. I didn't have anyone in my corner, and you became one of the people that I trusted. And I didn't know, who to trust, why to trust them, but I did trust you. And you were like, listen, we have to change the narrative in some way, or at least capitalize on this, so you're not sitting in your bedroom, like just wanting to commit suicide. Because I was a real person. I was really going through it. But at the same time, you're like, we have to jump on this. Remember? And you got me, the first thing you brought to me was The Apprentice with Donald Trump. You were like, Donald Trump's going to call you tomorrow morning. Answer, make sure you know what you're saying, how you're going to reply. You like coached me.
Yeah, I think we kind of rehearsed it too, because, you know, at that time, Apprentice was a number one NBC show.
The Trump biggest.
Was everywhere.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, they were really willing to take a very crazy shot because they knew what kind of attention it would bring to the show.
Yeah.
And they were very obsessed with you, you know, Trump, Cohen, Eden, like the whole main upper echelon, all the people running the network, everybody was supporting, you know, catapulting you as a television star. And when I started to get into that, I was like, okay, well, there could be a business here.
Yeah. And then we really got, I mean, I really wanted to do that. We got really into it. I wanted to use the Red Cross as my charity. They had never, oddly enough, they never had the Red Cross as a charity. The Red Cross was good to me after September 11th when I lost my fiance. So I had a real connection with them. And I really wanted to do that show because I wanted to show people who I was. And if they chose not to like me based on who they saw on television from me representing myself, I was totally okay with that. But I wasn't okay at the time with people just making an assumption from what the media was going to narrate. So you really helped me like steer that. And then you got another offer from something that you brought to me and you said, well, wait a minute, I have an offer from Celebrity Rehab. And I was like, David, I'm not an addict, because I wasn't, as you know and can attest. Right. And they brought to us this topic of love addiction, which I then learned is a real thing. But I hesitated over and over on that.
One little step, because like there's about 15 things that happen in between that moment and that moment. And I mean, do we want to really get in to the weeds here?
Yeah,
really
let's do it. Yeah.
Like, I feel like enough time has passed. So, you know, Celebrity Rehab is a show that I was heavily involved with as a, you know, a producer, a co-developer, someone who packaged all the talent, made every episode. And really was kind of one of my first number one hits. I mean,
who did you get on that show besides me?
Everybody. Everybody. Well, it's not so much what we got on the show. It's what we did as producers, casting, and development for the show. So like Dr. Drew, John Irwin, myself, Damian Sullivan, we all kind of made this show happen and produced the show. And I supplied all the talent. Someone had to deal with the network. Someone had to deal with Drew. Someone had to deal with doing the physical. And I had everybody that could do it. So out of the 90 people that did the show over 10 seasons, I supplied probably like 75 of the people in the show. So I had to wear a couple of different hats as a, you know, producer and as a manager for a lot of people. And I was in a position where, they knew that you and I had started to work together. VH1 did. And the show was cooking. I think it was season 5. We already had 3 spinoffs. And they were like, I was kind of playing the, we're doing something with NBC and Donald Trump. So it's not going to happen. So from the jump, they knew that if the numbers didn't get to a certain level, there was going to be no deal, no shot, no anything. And they put their best foot forward. I'm talking to start, it was 6-figure offers. For mind you, this was only a 20-day shoot in LA, but it was crazy subject matter. Now, both networks at that time, different than today, wanted exclusivity. So NBC would have had you exclusive for a period of time. VH1 would have had you for a period of time. So it came down to what is the right money? What is the right look? What is the right message? How are we going to be able to control the narrative? And we really played everybody against each other to get the best deal, which was a almost seven-figure deal, the highest paid person ever in the history of the show. But you and I had to be on the same page about the narrative because of my involvement with the show on the producing and packaging side, as well as representing you. Right. And that is where it got very, very tricky, because that's a show that is a self-help show where you have a doctor who is a doctor, but is also a TV star. So there's a very fine line between being a doctor and a television star. And that fine line got broken a lot of times in the many episodes that we did. And the other thing I would say is, I mean, listen, we schemed that. That was a complete fabricated scheme.
Because I wasn't an addict and I was on
Celebrity Rehab. You were not an addict. Yeah. You were not an out. You drank a little bit, I think.
No, I took Ambien.
Was Ambien? I remember like the Ambien.
It was like a prescription pill thing, but I wasn't really.
He took all the shit that was on the floor and crafted this story.
Yeah.
That was really pretty crazy.
But I do want to put into perspective for people. I was someone who was not famous. All of a sudden, I became the most famous person at the time, sort of on the planet, being spoken about. And it was crazy for me and lonely. And I had no idea what to do. And for me, in my mind, fixing the narrative was the biggest thing on my mind. And getting a friend who could help me with that narrative was really important. But I remember when you brought me Celebrity Rehab, I was like, I'm not an addict. I'm not doing the show with a bunch of addicts, because that's not like how I want to be perceived. But you and I had a meeting.
Well, you did like money.
I did like money. Who doesn't?
I came with bags. I came with the big, 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 stupid bags that nobody had.
Yeah.
And we had a good bag from NBC, but it was not going to be that level.
Right.
And you had to make a decision of I'm going to take this opportunity and we're going to do that.
But I will say, because it has to do with something about how we had a falling out. We had we had a meeting with Dr. Drew the night before it started to air. And I was like,
no, telling the story.
Am I wrong?
You're already telling the story. Yeah, you are.
Oh, tell me what happened. I thought it was the night before.
I pulled the receipts last night. Okay.
Oh God. Tell me. Okay. I love this.
Okay. See this board? No, I'm just kidding. Okay. So, we did something fucking really gnarly, really, really gnarly.
Okay.
Okay. So Donald Trump, originally we put you together with Donald to talk about the show. And he said, I want you in the show. I'm going to tell NBC to put you in the show. Blah, 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 blah. Deal with Michael Cohen. Deal with Eden Gaha, who is the executive producer of the show. Mm-hmm. And let's get it done. At the same time, we were negotiating and talking about it and trying to get a contract done, which we had a full contract, NBC Universal offer. And we're, you know, getting ready. And VH1 was watching us, you know, from afar of what we were doing, because we were starting to be seen and people were talking about you and I working together. And my partners knew that we were working together. And they said, like, we want her. We'll do anything to get her. We need her. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, well, if you need her, you're going to need fucking seven figures. That was going on. So we had a meeting at the L'Hermitage Hotel.
Okay.
That we did a double meeting. Okay. And I'm going to really go wild with you. And I said to you, because of the level of controversy that we were dealing with at that point, that we had to be protected with content, photos, video, everything. And we had a very dear friend, photo specialist, who works in licensing, who built a book. If you remember, he had a book.
I do remember. Oh my God.
That had a camera in it. And we had to place them like close by to get the content so that anything would ever be said differently about what happened. So we did a double meeting. We had a meeting with the executive producer of The Celebrity Apprentice, Eden, who was Trump and Michael's, you know, their guy. And then we had Drew come in right as Eden was leaving so that they would see that we were really in business with NBC and ready, and that they had to get to a certain level on that show.
Wow. And I don't even remember this, probably because you were orchestrating this and I was just like, ugh.
Well, I mean, I knew that I had to protect everything and that everything had to be transparent. I know that doesn't sound like it's transparent, but it had to be, because there was, you know, there was so much going on.
Yeah.
And like, we had to make sure our deals would make, we had to make sure that nobody thought that we were doing something against what one network wanted us to do. Mm-hmm. So it was really a record keeping thing. And when you're dealing with like a crisis management kind of talent, which you were, and the infamy of what you were dealing with, I had to make sure everything was settled. Granted, all that content did come out. And it was, do you remember that there was like a lot of stuff about, people were always like, oh, Rachel has a crush on Dr. Drew.
Yes, I remember that, because it came out when I was in the rehab and I was so upset. And I felt like this is such a, like, people don't get it. Because I really was there. I needed the help. I was such a recluse. I was so upset. But I was not dealing with the stuff that had to do with Tiger. I was really dealing with like things in my past, losing my dad from a drug overdose and losing my fiance from September 11th. Those were things I really was there to deal with. And then I was kind of keeping the house together. I don't know if you ended, did you end up ever watching the season? Because I know you were mad at me.
We cut the show. I was involved in everything.
Okay, well, but I took it seriously, and then I would see these things.
You took it too seriously, and that's where you and I
had a fall.
I had to fire you.
Yeah,
I couldn't work with you after that.
But let's remember, I was just a normal person.
I know, but you were normal enough to understand that we had a plan.
Yes.
And that I got you the biggest bag besides your other bag that you got, but I got you the biggest bag that you ever got ever in your fucking life. And we had a plan, and then you deviated from that plan. And the problem with that was that I couldn't trust you anymore.
Yeah.
Because my clients and I have clients that I still represent, like Ray J and Too Short. Mm-hmm. People that have been with me for almost 20 years. Okay. And we've orchestrated everything.
Right.
They were there then. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I was like, I just can't be involved in this shit. Because what kind of happened was you knew that my role as a producer and you knew my role as a manager, and I get to get paid as a manager. You get to get paid on both sides, no matter what, how the business operates. It's how it works. And, you did some funny business with the money, you know, where you tried to hold up payments for a very long time while you were in there drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
And I was like, listen, you're in this fictitious world where you all of a sudden, like the first time you're doing a television show, and especially a television show at that time of that magnitude, it was like you don't know how famous you're going to become. You don't know what the outcome of the show is going to be. And you sort of become this family with the people in there.
Totally.
And you're not talking to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And it just became very shocking. Luckily, we had a very good mutual attorney that was involved, who's a very big time attorney now, as you know, Josh.
Yeah. Binder. He's amazing. And we
were able to, you know, settle everything, but it just, I felt very burnt by you for a very, very, very long time. I was very upset with you because also the month before we did all these deals as they were coming together, as we were figuring it out, Too Short and I came to the Hamptons for the July and we all hung out and I took you to a big event that that I was throwing. And, I felt like we had a good like understanding of like how I operated, how you operated.
Yeah.
And I just felt really like, how could the, everything that people said about you, I was like, well, okay, now I see it.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel bad. Listen, it's taken us a long time to get here. And I think that we have to be real about things that have happened because business goes both ways. There is a upside and a downside to businesses, you know? Mm-hmm. And part of what I'm here to talk about with my, you know, with the Hollywood Handbook and my new virtual training program is, you know, about the business.
Yeah.
And this is one side of it that you always have to have great contracts. You always have to have great attorneys.
But I think that's important, especially the fact that you're getting into this Hollywood Handbook thing. I was an example of somebody who was like, not an everyday person. I mean, I had a big job in the nightlife industry where I was involved with a lot of celebrities. So people knew me before this happened, but not on an international level. And then I started to work with you and you started to give me opportunities and help me understand that there was a brand involved. I think what I got caught up at the moment with is that, you know, I was still dealing with my emotional reaction to being that famous that quickly, how much how I felt so alone. And so I was looking for people to trust. And when I went into that house of celebrity rehab, I took it so seriously. They became my family, people I trusted. And it wasn't that I was trying to, do anything to hurt you or make you think I was a bad person. Cause I really wasn't. It was just that I didn't know, you know, I didn't know how cunning you have to be in that business also, you know, now I know. Well, and at the time we were cunning and we got into it and we were a great team. But like at the same time, I was dealing with a lot of emotional issues of how to get through it because becoming famous like that is not easy and can take a major toll on somebody's mental health. And I think I just, it came so quickly and I really regretted how we ended our relationship back then, which is obviously why in the past I've got back in touch with you and tried to work it out with you because, I was just going through a lot and it wasn't that I was trying to do anything wrong with you.
I think that that's a very tough show to do for 21 days. Any show that you have to move out of your life and go and be in that show and live in the show for 24 hours a day, even though it was only a 21 day shoot, that was a difficult one. It wasn't like you were living at the Four Seasons. You were like in a rehab. You're like, you're at your task. They want to push your buttons.
Yeah.
You know, people are doing weird shit. A lot of funny, weird stuff happens in that show. So it's not your prototypical like celebrity show. Like that's why when we made the show, people never believed that we would ever be able to make it. And then for it to be a number one hit and go on and make hundreds of episodes, international licenses and be like, you know, be one of my first number one hits. That was a big, big deal. What I will say is that you have to always stay the course. Mm-hmm. And in business, I think you had to have learned that because there was a lot of things that we could have done post that show that we never did get an opportunity to do. And I know like, you know, look, you always wanted to be on the Housewives. You always wanted to be in some of these other bigger branded, you know, content. And, you know, I've made a lot of Housewives. I represent a lot of Housewives. Mm-hmm. I've made that come true for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So, we learned a tough lesson, but let's not talk about 2010.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? 2010 is a long time ago. We've obviously talked a lot of this through and I've always been straight up with you about how I feel. And I've always kind of told you where I thought that you were in the world as far as like value for celebrity opportunities, because there was a lot of narratives that we had to change. I think what you're doing now with this show has really been helpful. And I told you when you called me about it originally, I said, get to X and then I'll come and I'll bring Y.
Yeah.
And you got to X and I immediately gave you Y.
You
wanted people, you wanted, you know, and so it is a timing thing.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's important for a lot of people to remember. So before getting into like who you represent and all this stuff and who you are as a person. I actually want to get into what you are doing now, because it can take someone that is involved in some sort of a scandal, or not even just people that have a brand and they want to blow up. So you now are forming a company where you are almost doing a masterclass on how to become noteworthy, how to become famous. Tell everybody about that, because I think that is so important and so interesting.
You have a couple of the points of it, but it's not a masterclass. It's a virtual training program. Okay. It's called the Hollywood Handbook. And the Hollywood Handbook is basically a wrap up of my 25 years of experience in the entertainment business as a A&R at Death Row Records and Interscope Records, and for Eminem, being an agent at William Morris and UTA, becoming a manager and executive producer, and creating and producing over 2,000 hours of television, and also starring in my own shows like Sons of Hollywood and Hollywood Hillbillies. And it's basically taking that I've learned, that I've mastered, and giving you all of the points of what you want to do. If you want to create a TV show, if you want to get a record deal, if you want to get press for your, whatever your talent is, if you want to do brand integration into your content, you want to become a social media influencer, you want to become an OnlyFans star, mm-hmm. you want to become a YouTube sensation, I am teaching you the tricks to the trade, and you have access to learn directly from me. And then you have access to actually be with me, pitch me, get advice from me. And I will be doing one-on-ones to straight advise you on how to execute whatever it is that you want to do. I've been developing the Hollywood Handbook for the last 3 years. And I partnered with Lightspeed BT and Brad Lee. And Brad Lee is an incredible influencer, podcaster. He owns the technology behind Lightspeed BT. And we're launching the Hollywood Handbook. And, you know, we want to give people a guidebook of what the entertainment how-to is, because it's really basic now. I mean, honestly, in your phone, you have a complete movie recording, social media, photo studio right here in your hands. You can blast off to the world all your content, all your social media, all your press, all your marketing. It can all be done right here.
Green Chef. Kickstart your clean eating routine with 80 plus weekly options featuring nutritionist approved and foodie approved recipes. Choose from 6 preferences, including new calorie smart and plant-based options, plus quick and easy Mediterranean, protein packed and gluten free. Eat clean the easy way with recipes that help manage your weight and support your wellness goals without skimping on flavor. Get ahead of the busy season with their convenient step-by-step recipes, including dinners ready in 25 minutes or less, 10-minute lunches, grab-and-go lunches, and green bundles featuring clean snacks and functional beverages. Plus, cut down on meal prep with pre-proportioned and prepped ingredients, including pre-measured sauces, spices, and dressings delivered right to your door. Now, let me tell you guys my personal experience with Green Chef. I happen to be a horrible cook. And in every box I've received so far, I have been so excited to try this. The cook time is between 20 and 30 minutes. The calories seem to be anywhere from 600 to 850. Today, I made my daughter Wyatt and her friend Olivia spicy beef and broccoli noodle bowls, and they wanted more. It was so good. I felt so good about making this and having leftovers for them that they were going to be excited to eat. Also, the cheesy artichoke chicken sandwiches were delicious, and the sesame strip noodle bowls are literally my favorite. I'm going to reorder this over and over. So go to greenchef.com/understood50 and use code understood50 to get 50% off plus free shipping. You guys, I'm telling you, this is such a good deal. You're going to love it. Just try it and you will not go back. Again, go to greenchef.com/understood50 and use code understood50 to get 50% off plus free shipping. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well. This blew my mind when I found out, but did you know that over 80% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Seriously, think of how many free trials you subscribe to that you've probably never canceled. That's why I'm such a big fan of Rocket Money. So for me, I signed up. It took less than 3 minutes. I put my information in and outspouted all this stuff that I had no idea about. I had no idea that in the course of a year, I actually, and you guys, this is a true story, spent over $6,000 on subscriptions. It gave me a full list. It told me all the things that I was spending it on, and I could tell from there what I wanted to get rid of, what I didn't know existed. And then the cool thing is they help you cancel these subscriptions. Not only that, I could see how much I was spending in different categories, health and wellness, food and beverages. I was surprised to see how much my daughter, Wyatt Lily, was spending at Starbucks every month. It's a huge amount. So I'm going to be having a conversation with her about that. With Rocket Money, you can easily cancel the subscriptions you don't want with just the press of a button. No more long hold times or annoying emails with customer service. Rocket Money does all the work for you. And I can tell you, I've personally done this myself. It was super easy, and I'm already saving money. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and manage your money the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/understood. That's rocketmoney.com/understood. rocketmoney.com/understood.
Yeah.
So I'm taking all of my expertise and putting it in the Hollywood Handbook and showing you how to become the next mega reality star, influencer, rapper, rock star, celebrity chef, celebrity host, whatever it may be.
Celebrity Let's nail designer. It could be something as small as that and you can blow up.
Anything. If you have talent and you're filming it and you want to showcase it and you want to blow up, I'm going to show you what we did with Ray J and Scott Disick and all of the crazy stars that we represented, all the rappers, all the influencers. We're going to teach you exactly what we deal with those people. Mm-hmm. So that you can follow the guidebook. And if you follow it and you actually have the right content and you do it in the way that this could work, you can make it all the way to the top.
So people can do this on their own time because it's something that you've filmed, right? It's something you've taped and they can do the classes.
It's an interactive online course, which also has programs where you can also pitch us. Mm-hmm. Have meetings with us, get advisement with us, group calls.
And can people hire you to then go even further and either have you represent them or pitch different ideas that you really like?
I mean, I think that we're going to have a lot of incoming opportunities mm-hmm. and a lot of outgoing opportunities. So I am definitely looking for talent. Like I am definitely looking for ideas and people that want to go to the next level. I'm very picky now because the business has changed so much. And the buyers really need you to come in with the package that the stuff that I'm doing, I really have to be extremely passionate about. So I would say 1% of the people that want to do it will take very seriously. But I'm here to teach, help, advise, and I want you to learn from my experience.
Maybe you'll do some interactive sweepstakes or whatever they call it, where the best, the best opportunity that you're presented with, you will take them on and represent them, or you know that way people can pitch you.
It's interesting that you say that because I taught 2 semesters at USC in the film school.
Oh wow!
We had a program. I went to USC. Mm-hmm. We had a program where it was called From Pitch to Pilot, and From Pitch to Pilot is actually a segment in the Hollywood Handbook. And basically, a lot of people that were coming out of the film school, that wanted to be directors. They were getting jobs working on my reality shows. Mm. So we were hiring them to be editors. So the film school wanted to have a program where people could learn everything you need to know in the reality business simply. Yeah. And that's what From Pitch to Pilot was. And out of each, 30 students that were in the class, everybody had to do their own pilot in each of the semesters. We took one of the shows and we took it to market. One of the shows we actually sold to Pilot didn't get picked up to series, but it was to really demonstrate every step along the way. We had great speakers like, all the heads of networks and all the heads of these big production companies. And we taught these kids a lot.
It seems like everyone in Hollywood or anywhere really has an idea for something. What do you think really sets apart an idea that takes it to that next level?
Well, I like to think that a lot of ideas are what we call OMP.
What is
OMP
that?
Is of most pitched.
Okay.
So people are like, I got this, I got that. I've heard pretty much like every idea under the sun mm-hmm. in the non-scripted pop culture space.
Okay.
The question becomes the talent that's involved, the personalities that's involved, and how do you build a vehicle around them that you can take to market and that the market will react to and the market will want to catapult.
Right.
So ideas are many and a lot that you can find. It's the people who star in those shows. Mm-hmm. For me, I love big, loud personalities. I love family businesses. I love B celebrities that want to reinvent and go to be A-list again. Mm-hmm. I love people like that that want to get into reinventing themselves.
Yeah.
Because there is a market for that. The streamers want it. Obviously, listen, if Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez want to do a reality show and I was privileged to partner with them to go do that show, that's a big hit from the jump. But a lot of the people that want to get into the non-scripted business are looking for a resurgence in their careers and trying to get back out there. And it can happen and it can explode. And obviously, like, listen, you know, one of the first clients that we ever had, you know, we worked with the Osbournes and those guys, that was a perfect example of doing that. And then they opened up the doors for everybody else, including the Kardashians.
I think what people don't realize is the people that stay in the business for the longest amount of time are people that really take on this chameleon role of like constantly reinventing themselves, the brand. There's some sort of scandal that goes on and then they do what they need to do to get out of it and then move up and move forward. The Kardashians have been a major contributor to that whole chameleon, you know, mindset because they're constantly reinventing themselves. And I think a lot of people pigeonhole themselves to think like, this is what I'm good at. This is my brand. And then they don't think about how they can explore that or take it to the next level. So I think that is a really big part of it. What about, so many people are obsessed with Bravo and the Housewives. What do you think makes a good housewife? Like the New York Housewives are all new cast. You know, how are they picking their cast, do you think? And why do people fall in love with certain shows and not others?
Bravo has been an incredible partner and brand with my company. And we've represented lots of housewives from Orange County, New Jersey, Beverly Hills, New York, no one on Atlanta, Washington, D.C., Dallas. We've got a lot of different people in that sphere. Mm-hmm. The thing is, the process is cutthroat. Mm. I mean, it's the most cutthroat thing in the world because they really vet you, you know, they make straight offers to big names that will never do the show. And those people that will never do the show, they do that just because it's like, we're taking a shot in the dark. And they'll call me about people that I'm like, you're completely unrealistic that this person would ever do this show. Now it's not because it's a bad show. It's just because they're big enough to have their own show. So there's a wide range of how you pick the talent and everybody is involved. You and I have talked about this. You've obviously been through a little bit of the process. We've spoken in depth with Bravo, with Andy, with the production companies about you. And there has been times that there's been like an openness to you being in the show. And then for whatever reason, you know, it's the politics of the game and it's really cutthroat. I mean, it's really crazy, but if you can do it, you can be a huge star.
Yeah.
Now I will say on the other side of it, because the biggest mega shows in the game right now, obviously like the Selling Sunsets and the Bling Empires and the 90 Day Fiancés. I mean, the still the staples are going to be like Kardashians, Housewives, Love and Hip Hop. You know, those are the brands. Like those are the biggest brands. Those are the ones that make the most money. We are heavily involved in those shows. Obviously, you know, Ray J, who has been with me for 20 years is my, you know, I manage him and he's, I'm his producing partner. You know, he's the highest paid guy in all of Love and Hip Hop.
So that's so interesting to me because he's, I mean, he is a household name, but not really. I mean, I feel like, you know, Nick Cannon maybe is up for the same roles that he might be up for, but I don't know. I just feel like Ray J kind of stays under the radar, yet he's everywhere.
Well,
like,
we're under the radar, you know, we have five shows on five different networks right now. So you might not be watching them, but like our audience is watching them.
Yeah. Which is great. I mean, that's amazing that he's getting all these roles.
You know, that, and that's a long time coming as a host, as an actor, as a, you know, reality podcast, like he's got a lot of different jobs and all of these jobs, you know, feed the machine for what the end goal is, which is to sell products.
Right. So do you think that, so what was he doing when that sex tape came out? Was he like somebody big and famous and doing TV before then, or that catapulted him into doing all this stuff?
Well, his sister is Brandy. He sold billions of records and he was on television, and Kim, you know, was Kim, and Kim worked for Brandy, and that was Ray's girlfriend.
Right. So, but I mean, obviously
that was a very calculated, you know, as we calculated your play, that was extremely calculated between Ray and Kim and Chris and all of the things that they wanted to achieve.
Right. Which obviously they did, because there have been other things that have backfired for people. I mean, tell people the difference between, you know, Pamela Anderson's sex tape that she feels like derailed her and pigeonholed her into being this, you know, in a very sexual way that she could never move beyond that. Whereas somebody like Kim has become an A-list star, and Ray J, who is obviously on five different shows. Like, what happened there that's different, do you think?
Well, I mean, it was timing. You know, the sex tape business, nobody had an understanding of how to use it as a marketing tool until Paris did, and until Kim and Ray did. Now, Paris, you know, was the trial, and then Kim and Ray were the experts. And the expertise that came from that created a $250+ million tape that everybody made money off of, that also created huge industries for their families and their celebrity and everything. So you had to know how to monetize it. And it's, I mean, Chris knew it. Chris knew where it was going. And, you know, there was a lot of people that helped put the whole thing together.
Right.
And there's documentaries being made about it right now. And, you know,
monetizing a scandal is probably the best thing you can learn from, because a lot of people don't. And then what I see nowadays is so many people trying to create a scandal to get some money. And I think that backfires too, because it has to be, there has to be some sort of reality to it.
It's a very dangerous thing. You can destroy your life, your family, your children. It is a really dangerous thing to do, and you have to be very careful. You know, the crisis management talent, and I've worked with a number of them, you know, like people that came that were in trouble in the media, like Farrah Abraham and Courtney Stodden and Sarah Palin and Levi Johnston. And, you know, there is a media play that like is very dangerous, and you have to understand that it can actually just completely
ruin your life.
So, you know, there is a fine line.
Right. So, all right. Talk to me about some of the other guys that you represent. Obviously we talked about Too Short. He's remained in the news since I've known you. So is he going back on tour? Talk to me about him.
Yeah, we have a tour starting on Saturday with Snoop Dogg. 70 dates over the summer, all arenas. Wiz Khalifa, Too Short, Warren G, Burner, DJ Drama. All arenas, all across the country. Big dollars, you know, having a great, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Go check it out. You're going to have a wonderful time. And then, you know, obviously we have the Mount Westmore group and with Ice Cube, Snoop, E-40. Which had a big year. We were on tour all last year. Big album came out. And then Too Short and I are executive producing a movie called Freaky Tales, which is directed and written by Fleck and Bowden, who were the writers and directors of Captain Marvel.
Oh, wow.
The highest grossing Marvel movie of all time. And this movie is kind of like a movie based loosely on 1980s folklore of Oakland that's based around Too Short's music. And it's really crazy. Pedro Pascal is in it. Ben Mendelsohn, Angus Cloud, you know, it's Tom Hanks. It's going to be,
when does that interesting drop?
When it, well, the movie is just being finished now, and all of it was financed by E1. So it will be out theatrically next year, but I can't reveal any of the details about that just yet, but Freaky Tales is coming.
Right. So getting back to a question about the Hollywood Handbook for a second, a lot of people that have become famous right now, it's not household names. I mean, there are people that are influencers that have 2 million, 5 million, 7 million followers who, if I asked anyone...
But you said household name to who? Household name to you?
Well, that's what I'm going to get to. Yeah. I mean, household names to maybe not the general public, but like Gen Z, like, you know, millennial people. It's a totally different, you know, you might ask my daughter, she'll know everyone you talk about. She would know who Tana is, for example. But like, I don't know them, and I'm trying to figure out how they got this many followers, why so many people are obsessed with them. Because it's interesting to me because they have so many deals, they have so much money, and that's who people are really putting their money in terms of supporting and backing, as opposed to someone who may have quote unquote real talent, who's got, you know, studied forever to be an actor or a singer, and all of a sudden somebody can become famous in their bedroom, representing, you know, just getting ready in the morning, or representing a music brand or a you know, skincare line. So talk to me about influencers and how important they are in today's culture.
Well, influencers are the next evolution of pop culture stars, which I would say are the reality stars, which were people that, like, you know, were famous for being famous or famous for being on an interesting show and turning that into a business. But now, you, like I said, you have everything in your phone and your computer. So you can sit in your bedroom and create a YouTube channel. And if your content is funny, interesting, unique, over the top, you can turn that into a business. And our expertise with the Hollywood Handbook and my experience representing some of the biggest influencers in the world is taking how we deal with those businesses, how we create influencers, sign influencers, get them deals, get them brand integration, and then catapult them to the next level. But you also have to remember that there is this whole thing of how they started.
Yeah.
And how they started is literally shooting and talking to their camera, talking straight into the camera and doing something and learning how to edit it and tag it and, you know, get your content out there to the public so that you can go viral. And going viral time after time after time created this new industry where brands wanted to be a part of understanding your analytic, your likes, your comments, your numbers, and then bring you deals to integrate into the content itself and then get paid. And then you have this whole other industry of getting paid to post. Mm. You know, you're basically like, you have brands that want you to have, you know, here's Mountain Valley Water. You know, give me a bag. Like it can happen organically. You may think it's natural. You may think it's like, it could look contrived, but like, there's so many ways that you can take brand integration and take influencers and marry them together. And the money is out of control because everything is based on an analytic. So your analytic is so important because it literally constitutes to what a buyer or a brand will pay you to do something based on your numbers, based on how many followers you have, your engagement, likes, comments, all that stuff. And there is a formula.
But how many of these people are wannabes that are like paying for followers? Because I know that's a big business. People have dropped shit in my DM all the time.
Real brands know if the followers are fake and the engagement is fake and if the bots are fake. I mean, you can look at the followers and understand that. Mm-hmm. So it's not hard to figure it out. People that, like, you know, have 5 million followers and only have 25 comments, like, it's fake.
Yeah.
You bought them. It's not real. Like, if you had 5 million followers, you would probably have an average of like 600 comments.
Right.
Okay. You probably have, you know, 30,000 likes. There's a formula. There's an analytic breakdown. Mm-hmm. It's a mathematics numbers game. Yeah. And once you understand the numbers game, which we do in the Hollywood Handbook, we'll teach you about the numbers game and how to monetize it. Then you can actually take your platform, your social media, your content, your talent, and exploit it.
Right.
But you got to learn it. You got to understand
that. And that's the biggest thing that you said, though. You have to have some sort of a talent. You have to have some sort of personality. Like, I mean, there are people that are amazing TikTok stars, but Addison Rae and Charlie D'Amelio stood out for a while back that, you know, a couple of years ago during pandemic or whatever. Yeah. My daughter was obsessed with the both of them. And then they got a show, right? I mean, Addison Rae became the lead in a movie and Charlie got her own reality show. Now, I don't know how well those did because I don't know if they can translate their personality into something bigger than that. And I think Charlie had a little bit of a breakdown on her show because she couldn't handle it. So people are really good at some things and not good at others. And it's taking that diamond in a rough to make them famous, so to speak.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
And you're good at finding that talent.
There's many of those out there. Those are two, you know, examples that have really crossed over into obviously the news that you read, which is like Us Weekly and TMZ and Page Six,
yeah,
because they're talking about there, but there is a whole other world of value there. Like I do a lot of deals with Amazon, and Amazon has a huge budget to pay influencers to market movies, TV shows, and in-house products and stuff that they're pushing, and the budgets are crazy. And they'll go after very unique niche markets of influencers in, you know, various beauty and wellness spaces and yoga and sports, and as well as the big loud ones like, you know, the Trisha Paytas's of the world and the, you know, and the Tanas of the world. So there is a wide variety of that. You know, Tana's a great example because Tana is a kid who grew up of the YouTube generation of literally making crazy videos in her room on a computer and literally fine-tune that from the time she was 15 to now being in her young 20s and making millions of dollars.
But how did she even start? Like, how did she even know to do that?
Making crazy, funny, weird videos, doing weird shit in her bedroom in Las Vegas.
And people kept following her and following her, and she started to get...
People were following her. People wanted to learn about her. She was in her room making content, and, you know, she mastered... Listen, to do it from the jump organically, you have to be an editor. You have to be a director. You have to be a lighting expert. You have to know how to do your makeup. You have to be your own stylist. You have to have a point of view. Your point of view is the most important thing that you have as an influencer. You have to be able to be like, I am different and my tone is different. What I'm doing is different. My house is different. My experience is different. My life view is different.
And not be influenced by what other people want to see. I think what makes Tana interesting is that she just follows what she thinks is important and she wants to talk about. And she doesn't deviate based on what she thinks people want to hear.
Being an original, you know, content creator, you're setting trends. There's a lot of people doing that. Tana's been a great client. I love her like a sister, and she has been, you know, we've done really well together, and I'm very proud of her. You know, podcasts, alcohol, lingerie, cannabis, movies, television, reality, hosting, events.
And what's her target audience? Who's following her? Because she's got like over 5 million people on Instagram. She
has over 30 million followers there, aggregately, between TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter.
And this is people in their late teens, early 20s?
That's where we go back to the analytic. Because looking at Instagram, Instagram is one metric.
Yeah.
So you got to understand, when you're talking to a buyer, you have to sell the Instagram metric, right? The TikTok metric and value system, the how they pay there, is a completely different business. Mm-hmm. I'm an expert in breaking down every one of these, looking at budgets, looking at brands, and creating these deals. The thing with her is that she might get one number for Instagram, one number for TikTok, one number for YouTube, or one number for all of them. So it's all a different play. The other thing that we haven't even gotten into is like OnlyFans changed everything.
Yeah, let's talk about OnlyFans.
Everything.
What are your thoughts on OnlyFans? I mean, and do people OnlyFans have to get naked?
The youngest.
Yeah.
But not everybody's naked. That's
a misconception.
That's a complete misconception.
Okay.
There is a lot of people naked. There is a lot of crazy, weird stuff on there.
So do people have to get into sexual stuff and naked stuff to do well on OnlyFans? Is my question.
No, absolutely not.
Okay. And anyone today, you don't think it's oversaturated? Could anyone get involved?
I mean, if you're hot and cool and interesting and you're doing something, why wouldn't you make money 24 hours a day in your sleep?
Right. And don't you have a company that helps with that as well? Is that what Unruly does? They take influencers?
Yeah, we have a joint venture with Unruly where we do a lot of influencer OnlyFans branded management. We've been very successful with it. Our partners at Unruly are incredible. Tara, you know, Matt, Nikki, they're all great, really smart people.
So anyone interested in getting involved in OnlyFans should come to DWE, have a conversation with David, and then he will set you on the right path.
Yes, we can teach you how to make it. When are you starting yours?
Well, I've been asking you for a long time if you think that I should. I need to get on board with you.
It depends on what you're going to do.
Listen, I'm not above wanting to make some money. So, you know, but I'm not about to super sexual.
About that off topic.
But I've interviewed a lot of girls that have had some really crazy stories. I had one woman come on who was a pastor, decided she wanted to become a lesbian, and then now makes seven mm-hmm. figures on OnlyFans. I've had someone from the Netflix documentary Money Shot, the Pornhub story, and she's a serious porn star who does very well on OnlyFans, and she broke down why people should be on OnlyFans. I had Shayna Mokler talking about her OnlyFans. Yeah, your client who you got on for me. But she talked about OnlyFans and how she thinks the most important thing is you really have to have a following, because otherwise, you know, it can be really hard for people to get started. So, which actually...
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, OnlyFans... It's kind of like doing YouTube. You have to have an original point of view. You have to be doing content that people want to see. You do have to have somewhat of a following. I mean, if you're going to get into like the X kind of stuff, and I'm not talking about sex, I'm talking about just nakedness and really sexy photos. If you've already done it, you've been in Playboy, like it's not going to really translate like that. Shayna was difficult. We set Shayna up with a lot of different opportunities within that space. And there's a fine line that she walks with how she wants to do it. She's done okay, but it's a different business, you know? Shayna's a great like reality star. Shayna is, if we can get Shayna another gigantic TV show, she's going to go all the way, because her point of view is wild.
Yeah. And she has such an incredible, interesting story. She's not just one person. She's had so many different lives with so many different people. And in her own right, she's done so many things. So she's a really interesting person or character for a show.
Hair thinning impacts all of us. In fact, over half of us will experience hair thinning. It's not only common, it's normal. Join the thousands of people who are standing up for their strands by doing something about it with Nutrafol. Have you noticed that your hair isn't looking as healthy as it used to? I am. Maybe you're starting to see more of your scalp, or you're self-conscious about thinning patches. It can be frustrating, but with Nutrafol, you don't have to just accept it. You can do something about it. Let me tell you something. I am someone who has sort of been known for my hair my entire life. But if you didn't know this by now, I have been wearing extensions for over 10 years. I'm so excited to try Nutrafol because I feel confident that I'm giving myself a chance to start growing my hair and be doing something inside out for the healthiness of my hair. And the goal is to eventually not have to wear extensions. So I'm really excited to see what this does for me. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended growth supplement, clinically shown to improve hair growth, visible thickness, and strength. Nutrafol's physician formulated hair growth supplements uses science-backed ingredients. Their drug-free patented technology provides consistent, reliable results. Thinning hair is different for men and women. Nutrafol has multiple unique formulas to provide exactly what their body and hair needs to grow based on your biology, age, and other lifestyle factors. Go to Nutrafol.com to take their hair health wellness quiz, identify causes of your thinning hair, and Nutrafol will give you a personalized plan for better hair health throughout the whole body. Nutrafol supports healthy hair growth from within by targeting root causes of thinning: stress, hormones, environment, nutrition, lifestyle, and metabolism, through whole body health. And it works. In clinical studies, they're saying 72% of men saw more scalp coverage after taking Nutrafol's men hair growth supplement for 6 months. And 86% of women saw an improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol women's hair growth supplement for 6 months. Take the first steps to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code UNDERSTOOD. Find out why over 4,000 healthcare professionals recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code UNDERSTOOD. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code UNDERSTOOD.
Okay. And I wanted to get back to one other question. If somebody that wants to work with you I think a lot of people will be intimidated by the fact that they don't have a big presence on TikTok, Instagram. They don't have all these followers. Can you help them create a brand without having that already to bring to the table?
Well, the Hollywood Handbook is designed to help people that really don't have anything yet.
Okay.
That's one part of it. to build that. And then I might be able to really help them. But we have to start with understanding the basics of the business and the basics of honing in on your talent and developing your social media, developing your numbers, developing a little bit of PR, because you can't just come from out of nowhere today and become a star. You have to have a little bit of the analytic that we're talking about, which is the numbers that provides a value system for what I can do with the brands and the money and the representation and walking you to the next level. So there is a lot of that that has to be done. It doesn't happen overnight, but if you start today, you put in the hours, you do the content, you're going to do it. I mean, Rachel, you understand, like 10 years ago when you and I started working together, we were a complete expert in that field. So in the 10 years since that, we're complete experts in the evolution of this game. I've evolved every year with what the business is.
The game has changed so much. And you've been there every step. And that's what I was saying in my intro about you before, is that you are the guy behind the guy and always have been. And not only that, like, you started way back, and I'll let you, you know, tell more about the details, but you were working at UTA or William Morris. You were working in all these places and then became the reality star that of like people were like you were signing. So, which must have been a whole other set of drama. What was that like, being someone behind the scenes and then all of a sudden being someone in front of the camera?
You know, I think as a executive in Hollywood, you have one set of understanding of the game, which is like, put on your suit and tie, get in your 911 turbo, go to the premieres, go to the meetings, sign the clients, make the deals. And then there's the reality of like what that life is. And like, everybody watched Entourage and everybody watched, you know, The Simple Life. And like, we were really living those lives behind the scenes organically. And there just became a time where it was like, hey, let's show this world what we're doing. And Sons of Hollywood, you know, was a show I created, executive produced, and starred in, 20 episodes for A&E. You can buy the DVD, it streams. And, you know, it was a great show. Me, Randy Spelling, my best friend, and my other best friend, Sean Stewart. And it was, you know, the real, like, inside of the reality of like kids trying to make it in Hollywood that had a lot of notoriety, a lot of money, a lot of power. And that was a real documentary. It took 7 months to shoot. My partner who directed and did all the physical production was JT Taylor, who did The Osbournes, creator, executive producer of The Osbournes. And, you know, Scott Disick met Courtney, you know, during the show. And then we wound up representing Scott and making, you know, so like a lot of things happened as a result of that show. It opened up so many doors and it gave me the creds that I want. I wanted to be an executive producer. I wanted to be a creator. Aaron Spelling was my godfather. So like, I wanted to be a creator of a TV show. I wanted to learn that because that's where the money was. That's where the game was. And once you start to get those credits, that's when you can then branch out. I had to be in the shows. You know, the network saw me. The network always saw me for both. I mean, even for Celebrity Rehab, weirdly, even though I wasn't in that much of it, they always saw me as a narrator. Like, I know how to tell your story. I know how to get you from A to B. And I'm kind of the glue that binds everybody. So like, even Hollywood Hillbillies, where we took a YouTube influencer and his family and did a reverse Simple Life for 80 episodes for Reels, you know, I told the story of signing this kid, getting him a record deal, putting him with rappers, and having this crazy redneck family follow us everywhere we go. And it was utter comedy. I never even thought, I mean, at that time, I had so many different shows that I was involved in. When that became a hit, I was just blessed, you know, because sometimes you can't think too much about it. Like, I thought that Sons of Hollywood, we were going to do for 20 years. But we only did 20 episodes and it came and went. And it, like, yes, we had the billboards. Yes, we were in Times Square. Yes, we had the big premiere. Yes, everybody knew about it. We were in the magazines. People loved the show, but it didn't ultimately go to the business that I expected it to. But then the next year, Celebrity Rehab went number one and we made millions of dollars and we did our thing. And, you know, so you don't know what's going to go. That's why you have to have your hands in as many pots as possible. Products, TV shows, content, branding, marketing, PR. That's why we do a little bit of everything. And that's why the Hollywood Handbook is important, to show that you have to be thinking 10 steps ahead of what you're shooting right now on your phone. Shoot this, market it, get it put out, get your analytic up, get a brand deal, go famous, make it, get a TV show, and then retire. Like, you have to be thinking 1 year, 2 year, 5 year, 10 year. If you're not thinking like that, you're not in the game.
Right. And I think there's such a difference, though. There are people that really just want to be famous and haven't picked what they want to be famous about. And then there's people that really organically are living something. They're going to be the ones that do the best. And it could be, again, like I brought up, somebody that's doing nails and has this great story and this great family and this great personality and whatever it is, but they have to organically be living the truth of what this story is. Because if somebody just wants to be famous and keeps deviating on what they think is going to make them famous, I think that person is going to fall by the wayside. They have to be true to who they are and be living it. And that's what you did. You were living it. You grew up with these people. You knew these people organically. It's not like you were chasing them. And so that must have been really difficult for the people you worked with at UTA at the time. Was it UTA that you left to then go become your own star? I mean, were they pissed? Were your bosses like, what the fuck?
Oh, they were furious. Because what I did was, I was a motion picture talent agent. So basically, my job was to look for movies and scripts and make deals for UTA's movie stars, which included like Harrison Ford and Johnny Depp and Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn, Ben Stiller, and, you know, all these big A-list people, and, you know, Jeff Bridges, and, you know, you like, that's your job. Mm-hmm. But like, I wound up all the kids that I grew up with, the Jenners and the Stewarts and the Spellings and the Kardashians and Paris and Nicole and the kids from Laguna Beach and the Hills and the Housewives and all these people that were like evolving. I knew everybody. Mm-hmm. So I wound up signing a lot of those people. Paris Hilton was my first client. You know, I was picking people out, and then we were doing deals for them, because the celeb you spawn business, the kids of celebrities and business moguls, they became of value. And I was the guy in the suit and tie in the office every day making the deals. So everybody knew to come to me to go get put on. And that's what I did. So UTA never believed in my ideas, or believed that maybe having an agent with a TV show could be a great marketing vehicle. Mm-hmm. I had to walk a very thin line, because the agency was the star, not the agent.
Right.
But the agent became the star.
Right.
And I, when I left, I took all my clients, I took all my bookings. I had, you know, I got sick of also the way that they tried to pay you. You know what I mean? You get paid X for your salary, and then you're negotiating at the end of the year for your bonus. And every year they'd fuck you on your bonus. So why would I stick around when I can make 100% of the money with no control and do it the way you want to do it? Like, I don't live for you. I don't live for the five people that own the agency.
Yeah.
They never believed. They were pissed. I mean, they were furious.
So, and was that the last time you worked for someone? You've always worked for yourself since then?
I've worked for the networks, because as a producer, you're working for them, but yeah, I don't really work for anyone. I work for my clients.
Yeah. Yeah. Love that. Where do you see reality TV going now? What's something you would predict going forward?
Reality TV is always going to be here, because it's a medium, just like a documentary. It's non-scripted television. So it's just an evolution of the same stuff that will be reinvented. I think that a lot of the older trends will start to come back as well. Big group celebrity shows, dating shows, great family businesses, be celebrities trying to be A celebrities, unique dating shows. There's a lot of re-evolution, and you now have so many different mediums that you can sell to, because there's so many streamers, there's so many independent distribution, you know, there's so many brands that will pay for shows. So you have a lot of ways to watch your content now. I do think that, you know, there is a shift in like what the value system is of like who's a star, who's not a star. And again, that goes back to like what the analytics are, because the networks want to see your analytic. And, you know, not all press is good press. So in the Hollywood Handbook, we teach you about the PR world and how to be your own publicist and how to get attention and and how to, you know, market what you're doing to become, you know, water cooler conversation. And they make it in TMZ and Page Six and places like that, so that the networks and the buyers, when they look at it, they go, oh, well, they're being talked about here, so maybe we should give them some money to do something there. So there is a lot of this understanding that you have to have, that it cannot happen overnight. Mm-hmm. And you have to have the right looks, the right press, and the right team behind you. And nothing happens by itself. You know, even the Tana happened by herself in the beginning, but then the team makes the deals and makes the money and brings it and makes it all work. So
right.
There are a lot of steps that you have to follow.
Right. What is your favorite show on TV right now?
You know, I mean, I was like really into Succession. You know, Succession was everything.
Yeah, that was a good show.
I mean, just the writing, the acting, the brilliance, the storyline, to see this family. It just reminded me of so many people that I've grown up and been around and the businesses that we've worked in, and to see like this crazy, you know, wild lives that these people lead and the cutthroat of the business, because the game has changed. It's a dangerous world. You have to be, you know, you have to be protect yourself. You have to protect your assets, protect your IP, protect your businesses. And Succession was everything that you like ever could think the world is and believe that it is. And it's all, the sheet is pulled from you. So it was wild.
Yeah. I loved that show too. What about in reality TV? Is there a show that you love, or is it a show that has been canceled that you think should come back, like a Celebrity Rehab or, you know, something?
Oh,
from the past, I mean, that you think
people ask us every day. I get emails about Celebrity Rehab wanting to redo it. We've thought about redoing it. We've thought about bringing it back. I think that, you know, over the 150 episodes of that show, we did a lot. I would love to see it come back, but I think that I love the big groups of a mix of reality and famous people all doing unique stuff together, like this, you know, Stars on Mars thing that's on, like everybody's trying to reinvent those kind of shows. I love those, and those are great. And those are really good for my company, because I have so many mixes of talent that we can put lots of those people in those,
like,
shows.
The one on Fox that they did with Dr. Drew and Anthony Scaramucci, where they went to Jordan. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where they had to be like Navy SEALs, that kind of thing, or like a Celebrity Big Brother. Like the, like those are so cool. I don't know why that didn't do well.
I mean, well, it did. It came back. You know,
did it? Okay, good.
You know, and then the Celebrity Big Brothers and all the, you know, those are the things I think people like to watch. They love to see a weird mix of people all together, like telling their stories. And listen, there's a ton
and interacting with the most random people.
There's a ton of OnlyFans and YouTube and Instagram stars that are ready for linear television. And if we can get them to linear, that's the dream. All of them come to DWE because they know that we can take this small look on the phone and take it to linear. But linear television doesn't always pay more than what you can make right here.
Yeah.
This might make more money than linear. And that's the thing that you got to understand. That's where the game has changed, because sure, it is prestigious to be on, you know, Fox and NBC and ABC, but if they're paying more on Facebook Watch or, you know, Zeus, you may want to watch it there.
Yeah.
Because it does come down to money. And you know that.
Yeah.
You said, let's go do the cable show over the network show for the money.
Yeah.
You know, so you got to make those decisions.
Right. So, all right. Where can people find you? Where can people sign up for this?
HollywoodHandbook.com is where you can go and get the course.
Okay.
At DWE Talent is my business Instagram. Sir David Weintraub is my personal Instagram. At DWE Talent on Twitter. We're looking for talent. We're looking for people to become clients. We, you know, we want to help people. We want to teach people. And, you know, this is a year for growth. So everything that I've learned, everything that I've been through, I want to take all of my hard work and my knowledge and teach it to you. Follow the Hollywood Handbook.
And everybody has a chance. I mean, that's like the lesson, that anybody can become somebody. So yeah. I think you're really good at helping with that. David, thank you so much for joining me on Misunderstood. I really appreciate it.
so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.